And it's time to hit our first feature of the show. That's our tech feature. And I'm happy to say, well, not happy to say, but let me just be honest with you. I'm a technophobe and I am completely doff when it comes to all things technological. So let us, fumble through the dark year, the cyber dark year, and try and find out how we're going to, get through this. We've talking about WhatsApp. We're talking about Serious About Games. It's a very interesting competition all to do with gaming and how gaming is making a difference in our lives, or can make a difference in our lives and in society generally. And I'm happy to welcome Vanessa Clark, a freelance writer and journalist, onto the show. Very good morning to you, Vanessa. Are you there? Forgive me if there are a few technical glitches. Like I said, I'm completely doff when it comes to the technological side of life. Well, good morning, Vanessa.
Good morning, Regan. How are you?
No complaints. Life is good. We're doing the best we can. How are you doing?
I'm good. Nice to speak with you.
No, fantastic. So we're going to wade through four topics this morning. And the first is WhatsApp with WhatsApp. So you can imagine when something like WhatsApp, which has grown exponentially, I should imagine, over the past few years, when it goes down, and it says, I understand, in Africa, Europe, and South America, hundreds of millions, you can imagine, people without WhatsApp for several hours. So what exactly went wrong there? Just give us some of the details there, Vanessa. What do we know?
Well, it's all a bit of a mystery. So as you say, if you noticed that things were a little bit quiet on the, that phone beeping next to you on Wednesday night, it's because WhatsApp was down. And I've noticed it's been a little bit flaky before and after that. Sometimes messages don't go through and you have to resend them. But the strangest thing, and I don't know, maybe some of the listeners have heard something that I've missed, but WhatsApp, if you look at their Twitter feed, if you go onto their site, it's just radio silence. I saw one report that said they knew about the problem and were working on it. The service has mostly been restored, although even a couple of hours ago I saw that people were still complaining about it. So, yeah, but it really does show just how WhatsApp has really become part of our lives.
Now that you mention it, I got a WhatsApp at just before we went onto the show, so just before we went live at midnight. It was from my wife, and it indicated that she sent it at 10:30, but it only reached me, like I said, just before midnight. So clearly there might still be some gremlins in the system there.
It sounds like messages are still being delayed, and you know what we're like. We want to send a message right now. I need to, we use WhatsApp to organize our lives. If we don't make plans anymore, there's a WhatsApp group and we figure it out as we go along.
Yeah.
There's no point in somebody getting a message saying I'm meeting you 2.5 hours ago. That's just not how we use it anymore.
But surely the brains behind WhatsApp, those who run WhatsApp, the company and so forth, who set up WhatsApp, they would have learnt. I mean, it's grown so much that you would learn if you have problems with a system like this, something as important and popular as this, the key is communicating what the problem is instead of having people wandering around, like I said earlier, in the cyber dark going, what the heck is going on? Why am I not getting my WhatsApp? I mean, what is it about these people? I mean, you find it from time to time as well with Twitter. You find it with Facebook as well, other social media platforms. When something goes wrong, they just don't seem to want to come and be honest and say, right, we've got a major problem here. We're tending to it. Please, let's just, give us some space, give us some time and be patient.
I agree with you. Just this is what's happening and we're working on it as hard as we can and we're really sorry. That doesn't seem to be a difficult thing to do, but apparently it's not the case. And it's kind of interesting. I mean, the owner of WhatsApp is Facebook. And as you say, I mean, if you've got a problem on Facebook and to try and get hold of a human being is almost impossible.
Yeah.
So it seems to be a thing, which is really unfortunate, given that the reason these companies are in existence is to make communication better.
Yeah.
Vanessa, they are very much setting themselves up with WhatsApp, to replace any other form of communication we have. So you can't set yourself up to be the de facto communication device and then just disappear for a couple of hours.
And think people won't notice because, what is it? It's like over a billion people did notice. Well, most of those people who are on WhatsApp would have noticed because, like you said, it is a hugely popular form of communication in this day and age.
Absolutely.
Another thing I want to chat about here, it sounds fantastic, the Serious About Games competition. And who would have thought that gaming and bettering, if I could phrase it like this, bettering society, dealing with societal problems and societal challenges, that you could find a link there and you could have these people who sit away, most of them, I've seen some of these gamers, they sit away locked in dark rooms, some of them in these sort of cave-like settings, and they are completely devoted to this, what some of them have called, I mean, I've got a relative who's just a completely passionate gamer, and he says it's become his religion. I mean, that's how serious he is. And they're actually putting it to good use. So the Serious About Games competition, just give us a bit of background, some context as to what exactly the competition is about. And I see here the team Vukuzenzela become digital pioneers. Explain what it's all about.
I love the story. I think it's got so many cool aspects to it. So what it is, was it's the Western Cape Department of Economic Development and Tourism, VDAT. They set up this competition in conjunction with the Cape IT Initiative and the Cape Craft and Design Initiative. So already there, you've got a government organization working with an IT organization, working with a design organization. So in November, they said they were going to give R1 million to game developers who could come up with a game that would really impact, you know, social change. And they had about 16 entries, and it went down to 4 prototypes. And last month, the winner was announced. And as you say, it was Team Vukuzenzela, and they were a team between an NGO called Ikhaya Lami, which does some amazing work in informal settlements, and the game designers are called Renderhead. And now for me, especially given all the terrible fires we saw in Izamuyetu, it was last month, March, April. What they've done, so using gaming, as you say, and using the creativity of gaming, they've pulled together a game that takes what Ikhaya Lami does, which is literally physically restructuring informal settlements to make them safer spaces. And so that could be safer to prevent the spread of fire, but also to allow emergency vehicles to access the informal settlements, to allow services, makes it easier for services to get into informal settlements, and also makes the space safer for women and children. So they've taken that and they've gamified it. And another really cool part of it is the intention is that this game sits on an Android kiosk. So like Android on your Samsung phone, you can also build a mini computer using Android, which is amazing. It's really quite affordable. The kiosk, now they're going to go and develop these and put them into community centers where anybody in the community can come along and play this game. And it's a little bit like, I guess, Minecraft type thing where you're building stuff from what I've seen of it. And in a collaborative way, the community can come together and figure out good ways to restructure their living space.
I mean, that's critical, and I'm glad you mentioned that Izamuyetu fire, that is as sort of a launching point, because what the City of Cape Town and various other authorities have been struggling with doing is what they call reblocking. So in other words, trying to explain or get it through to the community that it's all about reblocking, having these homes situated and placed and built in such a way that you can allow emergency services to, A, that's the one aspect, move between these homes should there be an emergency like a fire, but also just having a little more space between these informal dwellings. So like you said, people can move around. It all comes down to just giving people a little more dignity. But I love how this expansion, this throwing out, expanding technology into areas that really need it. How that is taking on so many different legs. It's not just about the internet. It's now about gaming as well, and taking all these things that are happening out there in the cybersphere, if we could call it that, and taking it into these communities, and showing them that, we haven't forgotten about them, and that technology and advances we're seeing in society, they can be branched out like this. I mean, is this an ongoing, this Serious About Games competition? Is it a regular thing? Will we see more competitions like this over the years?
Well, this was the first one, so I really do hope that they proceed with this as a, I don't know if they're going to, but if they could proceed with this as an annual event, it would be amazing, because as you say, it's bringing together all these different strains of thought and difference. And I always think the more brains you have around the table with different strengths, the better the ideas are going to be. And also applying technology in a way that really changes lives. It's, you know, it's very exciting when Instagram brings out a new filter, but that doesn't actually change my life. But this is fundamentally going to change people's lives. So that is really great to see.
I think some of this technology, it's almost seen as being rather highfalutin and being a bit up there, away from the general masses, if you know what I mean. So people feel it's not accessible, it's not approachable. And here, taking things like gaming and bringing it down to a level where people can really relate to it, I think it's fantastic. A question I've wanted to ask a person who knows about all things technological and so forth. Phishing, a Google Doc phishing scam. Firstly, I've been wanting to ask somebody this. What exactly is a phishing scam?
Okay, so the clue's a little bit in the name. It's spelled phishing with a P-H.
P-H,
but it sounds like phishing, as you would go fish for fish. And that's exactly it. A bit of bait is dangled at you, and usually in the shape of an email. Often it's something like, click here to get this prize, or, oh dear, you need to do something urgently on your bank account. Click here to confirm your details. And what that does is it looks very, very clever. It looks exactly like your bank statement, and it looks exactly like the bank's website, but it's not. So you go along, you click, you start filling in your details to the point that you might even fill in a one-time password. And criminals have got all your details.
The Google Docs scam. So how exactly does that work? Is this just another scam that's doing the rounds?
Yeah, so this is a new iteration that hasn't been seen before. The things about clicking on links and taking you through websites, and this is why your bank is always telling you don't click on links, and we don't put links in our emails and things like that. This time with Google Docs, it was something slightly different. So Google Docs is part of the Google Drive ecosystem. It's basically a word processor on a website. So it's called in the cloud, and it's really useful because if you don't have word processing software, you can use this through the website, through Google. It's also, I use it a lot. I'm busy working on an article at the moment with somebody else, and we're working on this document at the same time, and we're sitting 30 kilometers away from each other. And I can see what they're typing, they can see what I'm typing, we can put in comments. It's a really amazing piece of technology. So the way Google Docs works is, say somebody made a comment on a document I was working on and they wanted me to look at it. They could then send me a notification and they could say, I'm sharing this document with you, Vanessa, click on it and please add in your input. And I would be great. And I'd click on it, it would turn up on my internet browser, and I would proceed and do my work. Instead, however, what happened now is it took you away and asked you to give access to something, and this is where it's very clever. It asked you to give access to something called Google Docs, so you would have had no reason to be suspicious. But it was actually, it was a fake application, and once you gave it access, it could access everything on your Google ecosystem, which could be your calendar, it could be your contacts, it could be your email. And then through that, it just spread like a virus.
What should we be looking out for then to avoid falling victim to these scams?
So there are a couple of telltale signs. Unfortunately, the scammers have got quite smart about it. Some obvious things to to look for are slightly wonky-looking emails, or where there's typos, or where the email address looks a little bit fake. Never click on links in emails. Rather go in and type the email address into your browser. Mm-hmm. If you're not expecting a document from somebody, just double check. And I think that's the hardest part, is that we're also busy and we're also used to things just happening online and we're just going through our day, that sometimes we don't take that 30 seconds just to think and just to check and just to question something. And so I think that's my best advice, because it really looks real. It's just about being a little bit cautious and a little bit clever, and maybe just going, hey, did you send me that document? I wasn't expecting it. I just want to check.
Yeah, the internet has become a veritable minefield, hasn't it? And finally, the Nike 2-hour marathon attempt. Give us some details on that.
Oh, my goodness me. So I am squeezing this in there as a technology story. It's very innovative. So let's call it technology innovation. There's been, in sort of running circles, chasing the sub 2-hour marathon. And to give you some idea, I mean, that's running 42 kilometers, just over 42 kilometers in under 2 hours. That's incredibly fast. In the 50s, there was something called the 4-minute mile, and that was broken. And it was this real kind of threshold almost for humanity, that once it gets crossed, then it somehow becomes easier. More and more people are going to break that record. So Nike has been working on this with some of the best runners in the world, and the hopes were very, very high. They'd been throwing sort of technology and R&D into the shoes and into the training. You should see some of the training. They look like almost like spacemen running with these masks, oxygen masks. So a Kenyan runner, Eliud Kipchoge, who is the Olympian gold medal holder, he came very close, but unfortunately missed the 2-hour mark by 25 seconds this morning.
Gosh.
Right?
25 seconds. But in the world of athletics, I mean, that is like a lifetime.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we're close, and just like Formula One, the technology that's gone into the shoes that Nike have made is going to find its way into the shoes that we can buy ourselves. So that's quite interesting. But yeah, we'll have to wait for the next attempt.
Yeah. Vanessa, if you could just indulge us, we've got a question here from Brian in Komaki. He's just asking a tech-related question, of course. He says, yeah, I need to buy a new phone at the end of this month because my old iPhone is dying. An IT expert advised him that he should not get another iPhone, but rather buy the latest Samsung phone. Your views on that? Do you think that's the right way to go?
Oh, that is such a tricky one. Unfortunately, I am very much an iPhone in the iPhone camp. I haven't had to replace mine for a while, so I haven't looked at that hefty price tag and thought, has that would that change my mind? For every iPhone fan, there's a Samsung fan. I would just say it is going to be a little bit of an adjustment moving from iOS to Android. Mm-hmm. And especially if you've got everything on iOS, everything works together really well. But people using Android with the rest of their laptop being a Mac are perfectly happy. So I don't think, I think it's really, it's horses for courses and it's what you prefer. I don't think there's any wrong choice.
It's a matter of preference.
It's a matter of preference.
I suppose product, just the product that you prefer, the thing that you've gotten used to. So, yeah, there you have it.
Yeah.
Brian, I hope that helps.
You know, there might be a bit of a teething period as you get used to the new service or the new operating system. Probably in a couple of weeks, you're not even going to notice. So. Yeah.
Fantastic. Vanessa, fantastic having you on. Thanks so much for staying up so late and sharing your knowledge with us. Thanks so much.
My absolute pleasure. Enjoy the rest of the weekend.
Have a good morning.